is really a crisis over there, I can tell, especially in Los Angeles Airport.
The new U.S. immigration ban affects many, including Vietnamese. It's Thursday, February 2nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Join us right now if you can on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Myanmar residents push for greater freedom of speech. The new Pentagon chief goes to Asia. Lunar New Year celebrations continue, and a very special birthday. Come celebrate with us now on VOA Asia. Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull says the United States is committed to honoring a deal to resettle a group of asylum seekers from Pacific Island camps, this despite the U.S. suspension of refugee admissions. The agreement, reached during the administration of former President Barack Obama, includes about 1,200 migrants who were intercepted trying to reach Australia and taken to the camps in Papua New Guinea and Nauru. White House spokesman Sean Spicer said Tuesday extreme vetting will be applied to all of the refugees. Donald Trump began using that term during his campaign for president to describe increased scrutiny of who is allowed into the United States. Some of the first people to be affected by the increased scrutiny are a Vietnamese refugee and his family in Thailand. They had received visas to enter the United States on February 8th, but have had to delay their flight because of President Trump's travel ban. The family is jobless and homeless, and at last report had just $190 in their pocket. The group Boat People SOS says it plans to raise funds to help the family with food and shelter until there's a change in their travel status. VOA Vietnamese reporter Tra My tells us how the Vietnamese-American community is helping new arrivals who are being detained at U.S. airports.
I talked to two Vietnamese-American lawyers today, one in Houston, Texas, and the other in Los Angeles. And they both are giving hands in the efforts to get those being trapped out. They told me different stories, a lot of things going on right there, which is really a crisis over there, I can tell, especially in Los Angeles Airport. It's one of the most well-known destinations of people around the world to the U.S. The person I talked with is a lawyer. She's an immigrant attorney, Kim Liu, from KLN Law Firm in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. She's coordinating efforts to put things together, you know, because a lot of NGOs, charity organizations, and private law firms are helping. So she's trying to put things in order, and they're preparing a lawsuit to the district court on behalf of those being affected. And she told me that hundreds of people are getting detained or stuck at the airport every day since Saturday. And she's now organizing 3 immigration town hall meetings with anyone interested in 3 places, San Gabriel, Little Saigon, and Artesia, to just give out consultation, free of charge consultation, and interpretation of the order, of the executive order that Trump has just signed. And those are in February.
So she's actually helping people who have come into the airport.
Yes.
And are being detained.
Detained.
And then also helping to give the community information,
mm-hmm.
so that perhaps if they have relatives coming in, they'll know better what to expect.
Yes. And those town hall meetings and consultations are free of charge. And there are like interpreters over there, you know, available languages are Spanish, Urdu, some of the most well-known languages of those Islam-dominant countries. So people getting detained at the airport will call. And there are some lawyers in person at the scene. And if they need more help, they will call. And then, you know, people will get there ASAP to help, you know, those being detained about the paperwork needed, mm-hmm. to complain or to get things worked out nicely. Because right now, what she told me is the Custom and Border Guard are interpreting the order very broadly. Another lawyer, Nile Whitehead from Lee Whitehead Law Firm in Texas, she actually was out with her friend, another immigration lawyer, and they were spending like 6 hours at the airport yesterday night to get 2 of the cases out of the airport. And she told me that, you know, not only the immigrants, the refugees, but also the visa holders and green card holders are being affected. Mm. Anybody from those countries getting into the U.S. border now are being detained.
The green card holders are a bit of surprise.
Yes, because they're the thing that, oh, I expect to go back because I have a green card holder. I'm a resident here. How come? But the thing is, she told me that the custom border guard, they have all the power in their hand. Nothing is specific. They just, you know, get everybody from those countries in a group and just hold there for 12 hours, she told me.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And the two of the cases that she helped out yesterday night, they had been detained for 6 hours. Those lawyers, they said that, you know, as immigrant lawyers, they have the duty and the responsibility to protect the immigration laws of the U.S. and the Constitution of the U.S. They believe that the ban is very broad and is unconstitutional. It is biased, as they said, in the way that it just a target based on religion and based on your country of origin, and it's not fair. So that's why they're preparing lawsuits on behalf of those people to get things worked out nicely.
A lot of complications to this. It's nice that the Vietnamese-American community is stepping in to help.
Mm-hmm. And we'll keep an eye on that and, you know, we'll keep you updated.
Trami from our Vietnamese service, thank you.
You're so welcome.
These are among the top Asia stories currently trending on voanews.com. U.S. Defense Secretary embarks on damage control mission to East Asia. China steps up opposition to U.S. missile defense system. Former U.N. Chief Ban not running for South Korean presidency. Afghanistan rejects U.S. watchdog report claiming continuing loss of territory. Smokers face tighter rules as Tokyo eyes a smoke-free Olympics. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and always on our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Writers, journalists, and activists in Myanmar are protesting a controversial law that has been increasingly used to prosecute government critics for online defamation. The cases have created a chilling effect on free speech under Aung San Suu Kyi's new government and have added to a host of problems that have dogged her administration as it closes in on 1 year in power. Hundreds gathered outside City Hall in Yangon last week to demand Myanmar's parliament change the Telecommunications Act. Sire Lang, an editor at the Burmese investigative magazine Mokun, addressed the crowd while standing on top of a truck. This law was created to shut the mouth of the people, and it is a bit ugly that the elected government is still using that. The 2013 law mostly regulates Myanmar's fledgling telecom industry. It created limited competition that drove down the cost of smartphone ownership and created an explosion of online access and Facebook usage. But its controversial Section 66D sets penalties of up to 3 years in prison for online defamation. Salte, a spokesman for the president's office, appeared to defend the legislation, but said any changes would be up to lawmakers. In a democracy, rights and responsibilities need to be in balance, and rule of law is important in democracy. Following rule of law means democracy. It's the same in other countries. Amending, repealing, or approving laws will be done by the parliament. It's just the decision of the parliament. Nafon Lat, a blogger turned regional lawmaker for the ruling National League for Democracy, says problems with the law were built into it.
Yeah, the law has so many weaknesses, and you know, it's focused on the actually it should be focused on the telecommunication company and you know the government. You know, should not be focused on the end user.
Nafon Lat, who spent 4 years in prison under a precursor to the law, thinks some members of the national or union parliament don't understand the scope of the law. He is confident members of his party will come around to changing it.
I think they were here, the people, but you know, most of the people who are a part in the technological field, you know, they don't like the 66D.
66D was sporadically enforced under the Thein Sein administration, but after the National League for Democracy dominated elections in 2015, cases increased, puzzling supporters who believe the NLD stood for free expression. Efforts to amend or change the law have stalled amid a number of more pressing concerns. Let us know what you think on Facebook at VOA Asia. Happening now in Asia, Chinese billionaire Xiao Jinhua, who was allegedly seized last week from his hotel apartment in Hong Kong and taken to mainland China, sent a message saying he was not abducted. He remains missing as Hong Kong police investigate. Xiao is one of China's richest men worth $6 billion. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're happy you're with us today on VOA Asia. U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis is traveling to Japan and South Korea for his first overseas visit since taking office. VOA Pentagon correspondent Carla Babb tells us what to expect.
The Pentagon says Secretary Mattis's trip to Japan and South Korea is an opportunity to listen to the concerns of two of America's closest military allies. A defense official tells VOA the secretary is expected to meet with the interim president of South Korea, the prime minister of Japan, and defense ministers from both countries. Experts say the trip is aimed at reassuring allies months before the administration clarifies its strategy in the Pacific. Campaign comments from President Donald Trump urged countries, including Japan and Korea, to, quote, pay up for U.S. security, and even suggested in one interview that Japan should get its own nuclear weapons to deter the North Korean nuclear threat.
I doubt that Secretary Mattis is going to be encouraging either of these countries to develop nuclear weapons. We want to signal both that their security is very much integrated with U.S. security and that the obligations that we have will be fulfilled.
The trip to the East Asia region comes after White House comments suggesting deeper involvement in the South China Sea, as China continues to build man-made islands and quarrel with its neighbors over island clusters such as the Spratlys.
If those islands are in fact in international waters and not part of China proper, then yeah, we're going to make sure that we defend international territories from being taken over by one country.
What that defense would look like is yet to be determined. But experts like Bonnie Glazer are urging caution.
Drawing red lines very early that you may not be able to uphold can raise questions in terms of U.S. credibility going forward.
The U.S. Navy frequently carries out freedom of navigation operations in the sea's international waters, but the U.S. has stayed out of land disputes. Carla Babb, VOA News, The Pentagon.
For more on the stories you've heard on our radio programs, visit our website at voanews.com. That's where you'll find in-depth reports, related stories, videos, and more from our team of correspondents. Or take the news with you by downloading podcasts of your favorite VOA program. That's at voanews.com.
voanews.com.
Online news for a changing world.
This news alert from VOA Asia. China is now trying to enforce real name-only mobile phone use. Anyone signing a new phone contract or purchasing a SIM card must produce a valid ID, address, and contact details. Rights groups say the change may make it harder for activists to operate in China. All the big stories come your way throughout the day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We continue now with our celebration of the Year of the Rooster and how it's observed around Asia, as we hear today from VOA correspondent, Korean correspondent Jenny Lee.
To give you an overview of what Lunar New Year is in Korea. So in Korea, we call Lunar New Year 설날. And it is one of the most celebrated national holiday in Korea. Most Koreans celebrate Seollal, which usually lasts for 3 days, the day of, the day before, and the day after. And this year, I believe Seollal fell on January 28th. It is a holiday to mark the beginning of a new year, but at the same time, it is a time for paying respect to ancestors and an opportunity to catch up with family members. We Koreans usually wear hanbok, which is colorful traditional clothes consist of a blouse shirt and a wraparound skirt for women and a shirt and pants for men. And they perform ancestral rites and eat the special food called tteokguk along with many other dishes. So tteokguk is a soup with sliced rice cakes.
Mm.
And eating tteokguk on New Year's Day is believed to add a year to one's age.
Wow. So, it adds a year or?
Adds a year.
Okay.
So I try not to eat it because I don't want to gain any more age right now.
Oh, so it makes you older.
Yes.
Not like it extends your life a year.
No. So it signifies that you're a year older than before. And another crucial part of Lunar New Year is that the younger generations of the family pay respect to their elders by taking a deep bow called Sebe. And in return, the elders offer them blessings and wishes for a prosperous year. Children also receive Sebetdon, which means New Year's money, as a gift. For the remainder of the day, family members play Yunnori, a traditional board game, and share stories.
That's a great New Year. It's a wonderful way to celebrate it. A lot of family and friends and tradition.
Yes.
Are there some large festivals during these 3 days as well, or is this mostly like a family gathering type of thing?
This is mostly like a family gathering type of thing. We go visit cemeteries to pay respect to our ancestors. We just have a big family meal together and sometimes meet friends. Because we mostly go back to our hometown.
That's very important, yes.
Very important, and there's this heavy traffic.
Yes. Travel at this time of year across many parts of Asia, really difficult because
very
so many
difficult.
People are on the move. Some countries have as long as a two-week-long celebration, but 3 days means everybody is out and back really fast.
Yes. It usually takes about more than like 5 hours, I guess, for each family to go back to your hometown. But it goes way beyond that, 6 hours, 7 hours, 8 hours even.
Always a festive time and a fun time of year. Jenny Lee from our Korean service, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Developing at this hour in Asia, the Maoist-led rebel group New People's Army in the Philippines says it's terminating a unilateral ceasefire it declared 5 months ago and resuming a protracted guerrilla warfare that has killed tens of thousands of people. Rebels say they still support peace talks with the government. VOA Asia keeps you informed all day on Facebook at VOA Asia. Today is a very special day for the Voice of America. It's our 75th anniversary of broadcasting to the world. We hear now from VOA Director Amanda Bennett.
75 years ago this year, Voice of America made its first broadcast. Today, we broadcast in over 45 languages all over the world. We broadcast in every means that people could possibly want to receive their news and information. We use radio still. We use television. We broadcast for the web, for mobile, and if new forms of communication are invented, we'll be there too. Our mission is really, really simple. We give neutral, fair, objective, independent news and information to people who have no other access to it. And we tell America's story. And America's story is rich and full. It goes from the entrepreneurial climate of Silicon Valley to our great universities to health and medicine and medical advances. It's also the story of America's diaspora, the people who came here from all over the world. I started my journalistic career more than 50 years ago, and here today at Voice of America, I remember just why I became a journalist. It's such a privilege to be working here with the great men and women who are telling America's story and providing neutral news and information around the world. I'm so happy to be here at Voice of America as it celebrates its 75th anniversary, and I feel proud to welcome it into the next 75 years.
Well, back in 1942, radio was still a new media. Consider it the internet and smartphone of the day. Shortwave broadcasting allowed us to send radio waves from the United States into Europe during World War II. This is what VOA sounded like on our first broadcast, which was in German.
Hier spricht eine Stimme aus Amerika.
Aus Amerika im Krieg.
Unsere Stimmen kommen zu Ihnen aus New York.
This is a voice speaking from America.
A voice from America at war.
Our voices are coming to you from New York, across the Atlantic Ocean to London, from where they are relayed to you in Germany.
Today, America has been at war for 79 days.
Daily at this time, we shall speak to you about America and the war. The news may be good or bad. We shall tell you the truth.
While we no longer broadcast in German, we know for many people our reporting in 47 languages is one of the few and sometimes only way to get information from the rest of the world. All of the major events of the past 75 years have been heard, read, or seen on VOA. VOA's mission is to tell America's story. VOA Asia is one of those programs that helps to fulfill our mission as we bring you the increasingly important connection between the United States and Asia. The VOA Asia team is honored to be a part of this long, rich history of broadcasting, but it's not about us. It's listening and interacting with you that helps us to shape the stories that we present, stories that we hope have some impact in your life. In the digital age, it's easier than ever to share your thoughts and ideas with us, and you can start doing that by visiting our Facebook page, VOA Asia. You've been listening to VOA Asia. As we mentioned, follow us online any way you would like. We're also at a website, voanews.com. It's full of great stories, videos, lots of things to read, always updated, always giving you the latest news and information. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Carl Starling. Our managing editor is Diane Gao. Our great VOA Asia team includes Steve Miller, Ali Ogden, and Eli Zimmerman. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
A precision airstrike conducted recently by manned and unmanned U.S. aircraft against a training camp in Syria's Idlib province killed more than 100 al-Qaeda fighters, said Pentagon spokesman Navy Captain Jeff Davis. In a statement, Davis said that Sheikh Suleiman training camp had been operational since at least 2013. The removal of this training camp disrupts training operations and discourages hardline Islamist and Syrian opposition groups from joining or cooperating with al-Qaeda on the battlefield, said Captain Davis. Since January 1, 2017, U.S. strikes have killed more than 150 al-Qaeda terrorists, including Mohammed Habib Bousadoun al-Tunisi, an external operations leader killed January 17th. He was involved in facilitating Islamic extremism and external operations and had been connected to terrorist plots to attack Western targets. Al-Tunisi arrived in Syria in 2014 after spending several years in countries across Europe and the Middle East, where he maintained ties with multiple Islamic extremists, according to Pentagon Press Secretary Peter Cook. The terrorist's death, Cook said, will degrade al-Qaeda's pool of experienced, well-connected facilitators and fighters with external operations experience. Abd al-Jalil al-Muslimi, a facilitator associated with a network plotting terror attacks in the West, was killed January 12th. Muslimi, a Tunisian, was trained by the Taliban in the late 1990s when he facilitated travel for the terror group, according to Press Secretary Cook. Muslimi also had extensive and long-standing ties to numerous al-Qaeda external operations planners and terrorists. Muslimi's role will be difficult for al-Qaeda to fill, Mr. Cook said, and the United States will continue to take action to deny these terrorists a safe haven in Syria from which to plot to attack the United States, its allies, or its interests. These strikes, conducted in quick succession, degrade al-Qaeda's capabilities, weaken their resolve, and cause confusion in their ranks, said Captain Davis. We will continue to exert unrelenting pressure to defeat violent extremist groups across the globe.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.